and welcome to the eHotelier podcast, bringing you insights from hotel industry leaders around the world.
Welcome to the eHotelier Insights podcast. Today, Professor Peter Jones joins us. Peter is the Dean of the eHotelier Academy and recognized hospitality industry leader in research and education. Welcome, Peter. Thank you for joining us today.
In May,
we published your report titled Hospitality in the Post-COVID-19 World, which has been downloaded by over 3,500 people. In the report, you covered a range of topics exploring the impacts of COVID-19 across the industry. The topic of today's discussion is society and consumers. We'll take a look at how the world has progressed since you reviewed this topic in your report. So, Peter, is society changing to a stronger focus on health than wealth?
Yes. I think, as I put in the initial report, there was much more of a focus at the beginning of the pandemic on health and health systems and how effective they were at actually not only controlling the virus, but also looking after those people that became ill. That hasn't changed, although the rate of exposure to the virus has obviously gone down in some countries much more than others. I think what it did, it did provide for society an impetus that recognized that their health is actually more important than wealth. And if you don't have your health, wealth is incidental anyway. But it also created, I think, a bit of a dynamic on better understanding of the people who actually provide the health services that we actually enjoy and how reliant we are on those individuals.
Okay.
And that's where I think there is some shifts and indications of shifts happening in society now, is that the pursuit of wealth, which perhaps would be an outcome of a very capitalist type societies where wealth is so important and everybody was, you're all encouraged to grow your wealth in a whole variety of different ways. People now are actually sort of paring back to what is core and what is important to them, and health is actually becoming much more important. And I would go one stage further than that and say, because of the pandemic, the focus has been on looking after people who have COVID-19 and the implications of that, then many of the other elements of the health service have actually been put on hold, whether it's for cancer treatments or whether it's for just routine surgeries. They've had to be put on hold. And so people now are far, far more aware of our reliance as societies on health and well-being. And that includes how, you know, the health is changing and how the health services are actually changing as well. But I think in broad terms, I would support that argument that society is now much more focused on health and well-being, overall well-being, which includes mental health as well, rather than just the sheer pursuit of wealth.
Sure. So those changing demands have had a big impact on how we operate accommodation establishments. Do you feel that consumers now value hospitality more now than they did before the pandemic? And if so, why is this?
I think they do. As I put in the report, humans are very much social animals, and they do require opportunities for social interaction. And a lot of the noise that surrounds things like lockdown tend to be all about how do we recreate that sort of social interaction, that human contact. And so because hospitality is a vehicle through which social interaction and social contact can take place, then I think people have come to recognize and value them. And you will have seen that in Australia. We've seen similar things in the UK and in Europe, in that when people have the opportunity to use, especially local or regional types of hospitality businesses, then they do. And they have come back in some respects with a bit of a vengeance, to the extent, you know, people are booking a long time in advance, but they're doing things at a local level rather than internationally as they may have done in the past. So I think we've seen that there is this real longing, if you like, for hospitality to be the vehicle through which social interactions, social behaviours can actually take place. But we do also recognise that we have to do it under different conditions. So it's not going back to what it used to be, as people would say, or normal, however you used to define that. But it is definitely going. What people are looking for now is the opportunity, and they want that opportunity, though, to be safe and secure. And I think when we come out at the end of this, there will probably be less opportunities because many of those businesses will not actually survive. So that's going to be interesting, because you could argue that would put more pressure or more opportunity on the businesses that do survive. Or it will just create new, different types of opportunity for that social interaction. Sure. But I think people have come to recognise hospitality as being very, very important. And not the least of which is it started to move up government agendas. Every government around the world is now recognising that hospitality is such an important part, not only for the well-being of the population, but it's also such an important part because of the vital contribution it makes to the economy. And you don't really appreciate just what impact it has until you close it. Now, once you close it, then you begin to realise what the impact sure. is going to be and what the costs will be and what the human costs are, not only for the staff that working within it, but the human costs of the society that previously would have used it.
Sure. And the secondary industries that rely on hospitality for their well-being as well, their economic growth. You mentioned there that referred to domestic travel, people staying local. We've talked in recent webinars about staycations and the demand on staycations. And we've seen in Australia a domestic travel bubble where people can travel freely locally. And really, it's the light at the end of the tunnel, if you like. Once travel does open up domestically, there is quite a healthy resurgence. But the consumer demands are definitely different. Consumer trust is now critical when consumers are looking for a place to stay. Social travel rating, like TripAdvisor, is now including safety and security in their ratings. Do you think the industry is doing enough to build consumer trust?
It's very difficult, and I do understand where they're coming from, because they want to try and maximise the revenue opportunities when they can, and yet at the same time they've got to be able to demonstrate that they are safe and they are secure so that they build that confidence and trust. I think as an industry we still have some way to go to tell people and to get them to recognise. Now, some of the big companies, especially the hotel groups, they've devised their own systems and so on and say, you know, we are completely COVID secure. We are a COVID secure location. Yeah. We've got all these processes and procedures in place and so on. So they're trying to do some of that. But in the end, it's not about marketing it. It's about delivering it. And there is a huge difference, I think, from people saying, oh, yes, look, they've got the sticker on the door that says these are COVID secure. You walk in, the first person you see is a member of staff who's got his mask dangling around his sure. below his nose. So, you know, all of a sudden you think, whoa, hang on, how secure is this? Mm. And so I think all of those things, it's not about how you present it and say these are the processes, these are the procedures. It's actually about how you implement them, because people will get you'll gain trust of the population by demonstrating that you are doing what you say you are doing. And if you feel, and I've seen this for myself, if you feel that they're not behaving in an appropriate way, you walk out.
Sure.
And there are different approaches that different companies have taken. And when we were able to use hospitality venues, we tried to use as many local ones as we possibly could. And you see the difference in approach is quite marked. Some slightly laissez-faire. Oh, no. Oh, so, okay, sign in here. Yes, we've got staff who are wearing masks, but the tables seem to be pretty crammed together. Mm. Whereas as you go into others and they're widely spaced out, they clearly are taking the protocols very seriously in the way that they conduct you through the process and the business.
Sure.
And I think it's that variation that's a problem. And people will only go back to the ones where they feel safe and secure. Mm. And that's really part of it as well, that, you know, you've got to feel safe and secure in that environment. And I'm not sure as an industry we've got that right yet. Some businesses have, some businesses haven't. And the pressures on them, I recognise, are going to be different. But unless you get that confidence and trust, you won't get the repeat business.
Mm. So reputation management's always been pretty critical. Customer satisfaction, now it's probably even more critical because people will be using, you know, not only word of mouth but social media to report on,
of course,
their safety.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And of course, you've only got to have a particular incident occurring in a particular location, which then gets promoted. You know, you get the publicity around it. 15 members of staff of this particular operation have now been tested positive for COVID-19. Mm. And people are going, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It's a bit like the plague. You know, yeah. I'm not going there. Whoa.
Hang avoid on. That
no,
property.
Definitely not.
Well, it's
so
going to
that's
do.
More about that's not reputation management. That's disaster recovery.
For sure. Yeah, when you fail.
Yeah, when you fail, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's going to lead to brand protection as well, because it won't just reflect on the property itself, but on the brand that it represents in the case of a chain, if it hits the PR. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's some interesting relationships, I think, beginning to develop now between the way that people used to perceive brands and the way that they perceive brands now, and how the brands have actually responded to that. And some of the major ones have done very well, in the sense that people perceive them as being perhaps a particular value for money product, if you like. But now, because their operational procedures have changed completely, they're demonstrating a resilience, and they're also demonstrating adherence to protocols which make people feel safe, even though it's a strange environment you're going into. It's not hospitable in that sense, but you do feel secure in it. Mm. So I think some of those brands have actually managed that process extremely well. Others haven't, and I think we've got examples of other brands where they have taken a slightly different approach to it. And where you then get background noise coming along, you know, in terms of word of mouth and, as you say, social media, that background noise becomes a bit unstoppable in a way. Mm. And ultimately, I think that's going to affect them. And, of course, the issue for those brands is that you may have, I don't know, anything from 50 to thousands of outlets all bearing that brand name. You've only got to have a disaster in one, and it affects every single one of those that you have around. So very difficult to manage, but it should be done through the local management adhering to whatever the processes and procedures are that they put into place. And it's got to be about, actually, at the local level, ensuring that people do feel safe and secure. You're building their confidence and trust that you know what you're doing. Yeah. And in some ways, that is now more important than the product itself.
Sure. Well,
you could have argued in the past it was all about product. Now it's about the relationship between feeling safe and secure in the environment and then the product.
Sure.
Other way around.
So the focus has gone from wealth, maybe rate, but now health is more... a much higher priority, but delivery is you not only have to advertise it, you need to deliver it, and then you need to manage your reputation as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And of course, once you start to get demand resurgence as well, then you've got problems occurring with that, because you're then trying to manage the nature of that demand. And it may be that you've got to restrict the demand in order to make people feel safe and secure. So in some senses, you could say you're foregoing revenue by being safe and secure, or you're foregoing the immediacy of the revenue. But what I think you've got to look at is actually, what's the long-term position here? If I make them feel safe and secure and they keep coming back to me, A, because they do feel safe and secure, but also there may be less competition out there in the future, then I've got a much longer-term time horizon that I should be looking at. But I appreciate the difficulties with the businesses. You know, they're looking at the dollar now and the dollar tomorrow, then they've got to get that dollar in before they can spend a dollar out. So I understand the complexities of the system, but I think you've got to try and get your eyes slightly above the horizon to look at what's coming along and whether you're going to be well positioned for that or not. Yeah. And that is all about, for me, it's about building that confidence and trust in the consumer.
Great. Thanks very much for your time today, Peter. I really appreciate it and look forward to speaking to you next time. Until then, stay safe.
Okay, Matthew. Thanks very much. Stay safe.
Thank you.
To build your own career or boost your team's performance from basic skills to executive training, visit academy.ehotelier.com. Get 20% off all courses and certifications using the code PODCAST. Thank you for joining us. Check out the latest episodes at ehotelier.com and make sure to subscribe for the latest insights from industry leaders around the world.